Okay, so there's the fourth shir on Yahar LaYavor. Some new people, so we'll try to get everyone up to date. Basically, yesterday we were developing, and it's clear from the Gemara that the makor for Avodah Zarah, right, the fact that Avodah Zarah is one of the big three for Yahar LaYavor, is the makor of Tasek of V'yata. So basically, it's clear that the makor is Avas Hashem. We developed yesterday that it could be, according to a number of Rishonim, that this makor of Avas Hashem could, in fact, be the makor for really all three. Right? That once you have the other makoros, those other makoros dictate that these other averos of arayos and shvichos tamim are also nichlal in Avas Hashem. The importance of, you know, ascertaining what whether something is nichlal in Avas Hashem or not is that basically, Avas Hashem will allow for a certain flexibility regarding the gedarim of the specific avodos. Namely, if you think, let's say for sure, if you take a chumras ha'isser approach, and let's say avodah zarah, and you think that the chomer of the avera of avodah zarah requires a har layaver. So then, presumably, if you're trying to, you know, decide when that should apply, it should be limited to cases which are technically avodah zarah, and therefore, if something is a technical violation of avodah zarah, then har layaver should apply. And if it's not technically avodah zarah, even if it's kfira or something of the like, we'll get to the details soon, then it shouldn't be included. But once you think that the makor is avas Hashem, and the idea being that avodah zarah is not the problem, of avodah zarah is not just the violation of avodah zarah, but rather avodah zarah as a siman to the, you know, the breach of avas Hashem, a breach of loyalty to God through avodah zarah. So then, within such an approach, we're going to see that there might be room to expand, right, the gedder of avodah zarah from not being limited to just technical cases of avodah zarah, but also including other cases which are also considered breaches of yadus, basically a breach of avas Hashem. So again, I'm going to go through the first half of the shir discussing a number of cases, a number of expansions of the Ahari Vayavar of avodah zarah to cases which seem to not be technical cases of avodah zarah, but rather expansions of it, which again would work out very nicely with the yisod we've been developing, that once the makor of Yahar LaYavor of avodah zarah, or Yahar LaYavor of avodah zarah, is not just, you know, is basically is avas Hashem, so therefore that would be able to explain the expansion to cases which are no longer, which are not technically avodah zarah. Ah. So with that, the first example that comes up in the Rishonim is the issue of Yahar LaYavor when someone is threatened to basically convert to Islam. So as we know, that in contrast to Christianity, which is basically considered avodah zarah, basically according to everybody, the issue is that Islam is not so clear-cut. And according to most, Islam is, since it's a monotheistic religion, therefore it is not considered, it's not technically considered avodah zarah. So the question that was raised to a number of Rishonim is whether Yahar LaYavor applies in case when someone's threatened with death or to convert to Islam, the avodah zarah, given that it's technically avodah zarah. So you're going to see that both the Ritzvah and the Radvaz apply Yahar LaYavor of Islam, even though they admit that it's not technically avodah zarah. They say, oh, because there's a, you know, the elements of kfira or other factors which we're going to see, that basically dictates that basically that the case of Islam is nichlal in the Yahar LaYavor of avodah zarah. So again, this expansion, it seems to be a very good raya to this idea that the makor, so the mechayev of the Yahar LaYavor of avodah zarah is avas Hashem, and therefore any breach of avas Hashem, whether it be technically avodah zarah or some other, you know, breach of avodah zarah, let's say breach of avas Hashem, would be included. Ah. So let's just see the Rishonim inside, just to quote some of them inside. So again, first is the Ritzvah in Pesachim Chafei Amud Beis, which you guys saw during Seder. So again, the Ritzvah is quite explicit that in applying a Harag LaYavor, despite the fact that it's not technically a avodah zarah. And this is the Ritzvah's Lashon in Pesachim. The Ritzvah says as follows: "V'havi yodea she'emunas ha'yishme'ilim," referring to Islam, the Arab religion, "afa pi shehim yachtim es Hashem," even though it's a monotheistic religion, i.e., it's not technically avodah zarah, it would seem, "still avodah zarah gemura chashiva leharig va'al yishtamid." It is considered avodah zarah for the purposes of yehareg va'al yavor. Why? Because basically admitting to their religion, joining their religion, is kofir b'Torah Moshe. It's considered a rejection of Torah Moshe, of our religion. She'eino emes, you're basically saying that Yadus is not true. K'mo shehi b'yadeinu, as it's, you know, know, prescribed in our, you know, halachas farim. Again, because, you know, Islam and Christianity both are based off, you know, yadus. So basically, what he's adding is that, you know, it's not the yadus as we know it today, because they change it. And anything which is similar, any similar rejection of yadus, even if it's not technically avodah zarah, is included in Yehovah Yomer. So again, the Ritva doesn't spell out exactly what he means. All he says is that this, he basically expands the Yehovah Yomer of avodah zarah to basically a non-technical avodah zarah. But again, one way to explain it is like we're saying now, that because Mechayev is Avas Hashem. Oh. So in the Tshuva of the Radvaz, is the Radvaz basically faces, we have a photocopy of it right on the Korah sheets. The Radvaz faces a similar, you know, Tshuva, a She'ila, really. And basically he responds without having seen the Ritva. It's interesting that he like later on says, oh, you know, he makes 2 points, and he says, oh, I was mechaven exactly to the Ritva, which is always nice to see, you know, chachmei mesorah, you know, being mechaven to one another. So basically Radvaz, again, discusses this issue, and really offers three distinct reasons for why Yehari Layabra should apply in the case of Islam. Again, one of them is, really, the first one overlaps directly with the Ritva's reason, the second one is parallel in direction, and the third one is different, but again, overall, the overall direction of the piece seems to align with the Ritva and this idea of Avas Hashem. So the Ritvaz basically again offers three distinct reasons. If you guys have the sheet, we'll just read them inside. So again, the She'ila is just dealing with the question, basically someone is faced with this, you know, this issue of either Yehareg or basically converts to Islam, and he basically responds as follows. Do you have it?
No, I have it.
That's okay. Marsha, you want to go for it? Tshuva, starting with the Tshuva part?
Yeah.
Go for it. Oh, you want to read for us?
Let's read.
Yeah. Slowly, okay. For us Americans.
Tshuva ראיתי להרחיב לך דיבור בזה לפי שראיתי הדור פרוץ מרובה על העומד ומורים היתר בדבר ואין להם ממש לסמוך.
Right, it seems like people were just converting without, you know, actually really it'd be ma'ayin in the halachic ramifications.
So ומעטה בנידון דידן אומר אני כל שכן הוא שתיהרג ואל יעבור אם מפני מצווה אחת של תורה אמרו ייהרג ואל יעבור מי שאנסו הוא לעזוב כל הדעת כולה ולהיות כאחד מעמי הארץ ולכפור בכל תורת משה
או אחת
כמה על אחת כמה וכמה שיהרג ואל יעבור.
So that's reason number one. So again, this seems very similar to the Ritva's reasoning, that again, even though it's not technically avodah zarah, is that anything which is considered a, you know, kfira b'chol toras moshe, rejection of yadus, is included in Yehari Layabra. So again, if you just understood, just technically, from the perspective of avodah zarah, this wouldn't make sense, but again, once you understand this broader Avas Hashem implications, therefore a, you know, rejection such as this does make sense. Oh, so the second reason.
זאת ועוד אחרת שצריך להודות שהיה שם אצלם אדם שמעלתו היא למעלה ממעלת משה רבנו עליו שלום וזו הריסה בכל הדת.
So what is this referring to? Is it converting to Islam means you accept
what's his name?
Muhammad.
Yeah,
exactly. Good that you forgot it. Alright, so you're accepting right, Muhammad basically, and basically with the Chiddush of Radvaz, again, we'll be parallel one of the Ani Imamins of the Rambam, is that basically one of the core tenets, one of the core beliefs of Yadus is that basically the Nivuos Moshe Rabbeinu is supreme, right? And the idea seems to be, as you know, this is why the Rambam records this in the seventh Ani Mamin, is that meaning basically Nivuos Moshe is really the basis of, right, Torah, right? Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh. So therefore, admitting that someone else, meaning that another Navi, like, supersedes Moshe, basically undermines really a core belief in Yadus. Just to read the Rambam again, this is parallel to the Rambam 7th Ani Mamin, where he says as follows. This is Ani Mamin b'Emunah Shleima. I should have a song for this, right? Shenevuas Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom Haisa Amitis Hu Haya Av L'Nevim, right? The father of all Nevim, L'Kodmim L'Fanav, greater than any Navi who came before him, U'L'Bayim Achrav. Right, in this context, the latter is more important, and therefore is greater than anybody who came afterwards, and therefore no later Navi can contradict anything that Moshe says. And therefore, again, this is the first two reasons of the Radvaz seem to be going in the same direction. This idea that, I mean, that again, the accepting of another religion or, you know, rejecting a core tenet of Yadus, again, is based on this idea of that a general rejection of Yadus is nichlal nehar layavra of avodah zarah, even if you don't have technical violation of the avodah zarah. Yeah.
Don't we say that Bilam, since he was not a non-Jew, could come as much as Moshe? So what's the kfira saying Muhammad? He's not a Jew. It's not like a, it's specifically in a Jewish Navi can't be like Moshe.
But also that's not Lamala.
Yeah, that was parallel. And also, and it's a big question, but meaning, yes, there's the one medrash that says that, you know, it had to give, you know, a Navi amongst the Goyim who is at least of equal. But there are also a lot of implications that a cry, that there are a lot of, you know, components to Bilam's Nevuah, which are clearly, you know, inferior to even classical Nevi'im. And number two, which came to this point, is also, Bilam didn't really contradict anything that Moshe said. I think the major point here that the Radvaz is focusing on is that, you know, the so-called Nevuah of Muhammad undercuts Yadus. And therefore, it's not just, which one's greater, you know, in collecting the Torah cards, but it's rather, you know, the fact that accepting Muhammad as a greater Nevuah basically gives him the right to undermine Halacha and Torah's Moshe. So I think that's really the factor. Yeah.
How is this really different than the previous times of the
I think, as I was saying, I think they're both similar in, like, you know, in orientation in Kivun, in the sense that it's about, you know, Mechayev is the rejection of Yadus, but I think it's coming from a different angle.
Yeah, so I think, like, without the first answer, you can't have the second answer. Like a
culture king,
if you say the second answer, culture king, the first answer.
Yes, I mean they're both based on the idea of the rejection of Yadus. Again, they come from different angles. One is that you reject Yadus when you accept another formalized religion, and the other one is that you reject Yadus when you undermine any of its, you know, basic, you know, beliefs, core beliefs. I mean, you're right. I mean, number one is like the Chama Saiman. I mean, number one includes number two. But two is an extension of number one, because you can have someone who undermines a core, you know, one of the animamans, but doesn't necessarily accept a different religion. So again, I would say number two really extends number one, that not only, I mean, you have this notion of rejecting Yadus, not only if you adopt another religion, but even if you undermine one of the basic beliefs of...
Is that the same thing? Is that already,
no, it's an extension.
Is that already a rejection of Judaism? That's
the point. I mean, but I'm saying not only is adopting another religion a rejection of Yadus, but it's even a rejection of Yadus to be Chayav Yaron LaYavur when you undermine any of Yadus, you know, any of the basic, you know, fundamental tenets of Yadus. It's an extension of the same idea.
Doesn't the Rambam say, like, it's gross, like, for Islam? I mean, it's not very good Yavur for Islam.
So... it's a whole discussion about whether he was really talking about after the fact, whether the Eved. So, again, it could be, I mean, again, this is the Chiddush of the Ritva, and so you have to look that inside at him in a while, but that's specifically writing a letter, the Igeres Hashman, to those who had converted, right? So that's really the Eved. Like, it's the last discussion whether you're Chayev, the Eved. That was the last topic. So, again, This is more on the Lechatzchi level. I don't think it's, again, we have to look at it again. I don't know if it's I think it's clear that the Rambam was not saying Lechatzchi you could do it. It's just Bidyeved. You know, there's certain justifications. Not justifications, but your life is not totally lost. That type of idea. Oh, so then the third reason, again, which is a little different orientation. Again, this is getting back to the technical violation of the specific big three. It says Va'od. What is he saying there? This is the third reason why you can't convert.
Yeah, he said if you convert, you'll be over on the biggest things of the Torah.
Exactly. So basically, again, in order to say this last one, you don't need this, you sow to the first two. Because this is basically saying that, you know, even, you know, what seems to not be the violation of one of the big three really will end up being the violation of the big three. That's basically exactly what you will come to it. Again, yeah. It is a chiddush. Again, if you took the third one on its own, it is a chiddush because you haven't yet done it. So it's a chiddush to extend the Yaharon LaYavur to a bold action, which will be, you know, machshir later violations. So that's a chiddush. Again, it's hard to know whether, you know, this third one is acting in complete isolation, complete independence from the first two. I got, obviously, the first two justified the Yaharon LaYavur at this point. It's hard to know if, like, the Radvaz was saying, it's like in a different situation where you're making a bold move, which again is not a rejection of Yadus in of itself, and it's not obviously yet a technical violation of any of the big three, but yet would somehow automatically lead, if you can have such a tzir, would it automatically lead to the violation of a big three? Would you apply Yaharon LaYavur even at that first stage? That would be a very big chiddush.
I mean, there would be some basis based on ways some people explain Esther and Parhas Yavodi. People say, no, Parhas Yavodi was about Tilok on Esther.
But that's
that began the process, right? Where
yeah, so. It always, we'll get to the tales actually in Parak Olam, but it's always very tricky how do you define the beginning of the process, right? What seems to be, you know, halacha always differentiates very carefully in different contexts between like the hechsher, whether it be hechsher for mitzvah or hechsher for avera, and the tchilas ha'avera, tchilas ha'mitzvah. That's always a very fine line, which could have multiple nafkamina in different contexts. So again, just, you know, intuitively, I mean, the beginning to be taken in order for via, let's say, on the one hand, seems to be more of a tchila than here, where you're making a move which will end up leading. It seems like there's less of a direct connection. This seems to be more of a hechsher, while that's more of a tchila. Exactly. So again, it's a good point, but again, you always have to differentiate what's clearly the tchila, you know, the tchila of a process of a tahalich, and really just a hechsher, which will then lead to something else. So again, but it's unclear whether the Radvaz would apply this third reason independently. Fine. Okay. So right, basically, at least for sure, of the first two reasons of the Radvaz and the reasoning of the Ritzvah, again, seems to be the expansion of the Har Layavar for Avodah Zarah beyond technical Avodah Zarah to cases where that action is considered a rejection of Yadus. Fine. So again, that's number one. Example number one of basically conversion to Islam. Case number two, which again is discussed by both the Ritzvah and the Radvaz. Interesting, they both put them together, again, because they're similar in orientation, is the idea of, again, not adopting, let's say, an alternative religion like Islam, but what if someone basically says, reject, basically violate this particular mitzvah, not just to go against your religion, but as a siman, you say, violate this avera with, you know, the, I mean, with the understanding that the violation basically hereby, you know, indicates, and you know, that you hereby are rejecting the entire religion. So basically you have a case of one of these shar mitzvahs, shar averos, whose violation is not just in isolation, but rather has the connotation, due to the anas's, you know, context, the way he frames the violation, as being a violation which will undermine, really, the entire yadus. So again, the Ritzvah and the Radvaz, l'shitasam, who basically are holding that any time you have a violation, which is not technically a violation of the big three, but as long as that violation or that action basically constitutes a rejection of all of Yadus, then you hard layavar apply. And they both say, therefore, in a case where one of the Sha'arveros is being violated in a context where the indication or the implication of that violation is not just, you know, an isolated violation of one of the 613, but rather is a violation and undermining of all 613 of all of Yadus, both the Ritzvah and the Radvaz, both l'shitasam, basically both apply Yehari Layavar in this context, because they think the Yehari Layavar of Avodah Zarah basically indicates any utter rejection of Yadus in total. So here you have the Ritzvah again, whose lashon is as follows. V'lo amru b'shar mitzvos yavor v'al yeharik. Basically, he's qualifying. Basically, we do not apply the din of yavor v'al yeharik to the shar mitzvos. B'miskavin lahavir, right, when the person intends you to violate. Ela kisho umrim lo chalel Shabbos lavor al datcha. It only applies. We only apply the din of yavor v'al yeharik when the person says, "Oh, violate Shabbos, which is against your religion." But again, B'Torah's 1 out of 613. Below shiomru lo, but not in the case of the person tells you chalel Shabbos kimode she'in torascha emes, violate Shabbos with the, you know, the implication that you're basically undermining the entire religion. Lotziva kadosh baruch hu lishmor es haShabbos is a way of saying that, oh, God never commanded you in this one mitzvah, which again has, once you say that God didn't command you in one of the mitzvahs, that already has implications regarding all the other mitzvahs, because, you know, just like, you know, he didn't command you in this, so therefore that is, you know, ripple effect on, you know, tzivoy of all 613. So again, the mitzvah applies the Har Layavar, because this too is a rejection of all of Torah's mitzvahs. Let's just read the Radvaz, who again, we're dealing with the same issue, has the same idea. Would you mind, Ariel, just reading the next thing? Ubidola Mizu?
מצוות התורה, באומרם שאין התורה משה אמת, או שאנחנו החלפנו אותה, כאשר הם אומרים שלא ציווה הקדוש ברוך הוא על כך שחייב למסור את נפשו עליה, אפילו להנעת עצמו ובצנאה, שלא בשעת הגזירה.
It's basically, again, it's basically saying, and in such a case, where there are the implications of the violation is that it undermines really all Taryag, so then there's going to be a chiyuv of Yehari Mayabur, again, even if it's Betzina, even if it's Shlo B'Shas Gzeira, and he adds, Afilu Lanos Atzma. Which again, it's hard to know exactly what type of, I mean, if the guy, meaning generally Hanas Atzma, is where there are no theological implications. It's all for the Hana of the Anas. Here, where the guy is specifically putting a lot of theological implications even on the violation of the one Avera and saying that the violation that one Avera will have theological implications for everything. It's hard to know exactly what he means, how you can have such a tzir which is still an Nas Atzma, but this could be either an implication of what the Radvaz is saying, or maybe this is exactly what the Radvaz is trying to say, is that, remember, as we've been developing, whenever there's Hanas Atzma, exactly the idea is whenever the violation is only for the Hana of the Anas, that mitigates, that neutralizes the Chil Hashem components of the violation. As we're pointing out, and therefore, Mihar Vayavurs, which are fully based on Chil Hashem, will not apply in cases of Hanas Atzma. So it could be what the Radvaz is saying, whether you can have a case or not, it could be, even if you can't have a case, what the point he's trying to drive at, is that the Mechayiv of Yehar Vayavur here is not Chil Hashem. Don't think that, oh, in these cases where you're rejecting all of Yadus, the problem is only one of Chil Hashem. Because he's saying, then, if it was just Chil Hashem, then if you have a case of Hanas Atzmo, then that would mitigate, that would neutralize the Chil Hashem aspect. What he's really trying to say, the Ratzvaz, perhaps, is that the Mechayiv here, again, is Avas Hashem. That the Mechayiv of Yehar Vayavur in all these cases is that for purposes of Avas Hashem, when someone is coming to reject all of Yadus, that is going to Mechayiv Yehar Vayavur. And therefore, even if it's Hanas Atzmo, where there's no Chil Hashem, the real Mechayiv here is Avas Hashem, and therefore it's going to even apply in a case of Hanas Atzmo. Fine. Okay, so that's example number two, where again, example number one is conversion to Islam, example number two is the violation of a single there, but with theological implications for all of Tayarag Mitzvahs. Again, both the Ritva and the Radvaz, the Shitasam, expand Yehar Layavro of Avodah Zarah to all complete rejections of Yadus. Yeah?
You said that even if it was Laver, that you have to admit that this one Mitzvah wasn't commanded to you by God, that was an implication for entire.
Yeah. I think that's the way.
But is it not for that? Maybe it's just because. Just because you just not even perform one mitzvah, you didn't perform one mitzvah is enough to be getting killed out, so that has to have implications for all Judaism.
Because then what exactly is the difference then in Lavra al Datcha? You're just saying it's different levels of theological. What? You're saying, what?
They want you to turn into a hypocrite. They want to say, hey, do you think these are true, and now we're going to make you break your own laws.
Okay, but.
Is that Lavra al
Datcha? What?
Is that Lavra al Datcha?
Lavra Datcha is the case where there's no Yehar Vayavur.
Yeah, but then what is that case? In that case, it's a case where it's just someone who wants you to violate your laws. Something he wants you to say in the laws don't apply, or that one person's laws don't apply.
Correct, yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
So you're pointing out that instead of, you're saying, I was just trying to, in order to justify the Yehar Vayavur here, because which seems to be based on the rejection of Yadus, I was trying to explain that maybe even the rejection of the Tzibur for one mitzvah had implications regarding all of Yadus. So you're saying, you're saying that it could even be considered rejection of Yadus if you reject one mitzvah. That's fine. I accept that. So third example of an expansion of the Har Vayavur of Avodah Zarah, past seemingly technical Avodah Zarah, comes up in the sugya in Psachim, on Chafei. Right? So one of the Iker sugyas of the Har Vayavur is the sugya in Psachim Chafei of a Kol Misrapim. Right? The case is where a person has a Sekanas Nefashos, his certain choli, which is endangering his life, a Sekanas Nefashos, and the doctors say that the only way he can heal himself is through, believe it vague, he will say in the case of Atzei Asherah, basically using the ingredients of an Asherah tree for medicinal purposes. Like Gemara says, Yehar Vayavur, we know for the big three, even when your life's at stake, you can't violate these Averas. The big question that all of Rishonim have to contend with is, how is using Atzei Asherah as part of your medicine considered a violation of Avodah Zarah to therefore trigger Yehar Vayavur? So again, there are different Rishonim's responses to that. Some get into Abi Zraya, which we'll get to at a later point. But Rashi famously explains that basically, what's the problem of Avodah Zarah here? Again, there's no technical violation of Avodah Zarah. He says, Nireh Kimol Diba. Just using it as part of your medicine gives off the implication, there's a nireh, there's an implication, there's a perception that you're being molded the Avodah Zarah. Well, so that's what Rashi says. What Rashi doesn't explain is, okay, you still haven't explained why is that included in the Har Layar of Avodah Zarah. It's not actually Avodah Zarah, it says Nireh Kimol Diba. So again, I think there are two ways to understand this Rashi. One way to understand this Rashi is if you take the Chil Hashem approach, again, as we pointed out, we were dealing, you know, with the two general mahalchim of Yihar Vayav, whether it's Mishum Chumrasa Isser or Mishum Chil Hashem. So we pointed out that one of the, you know, the nafkamina between Chil Hashem and Chumrasa Isser is that Chil Hashem could be more expansive than Chumrasa Isser. We pointed out, we're actually referencing this Rashi, where a case where there's a perception of violating an Isser, where there's actually no violation of the Isser, so then according to Chumrasa Isser, since you haven't actually violated the Chumrasa Isser, it's not going to apply. But if you think the Mechayev is rather not Chumrasa Isser, but rather Chil Hashem, then there's room to expand that variety of Yahar Vayavar to cases where there's perception of violation. So again, this could be what Rashi's hinting to. That if Rashi's accepting the Chil Hashem approach to Yahar Vayavar, then he can say, as long as there's a perception, as long as it's near a Kimodiba, that suffices to be mechayev yahar mayavur, even though there's not technically a violation of the Torah. So again, one way to explain this Rashi is by aligning Rashi with the Chil Hashem camp. But the other way to explain this Rashi, again, is to group Rashi with these other, with the Ritva and the Radvaz, is that, let's say, even within the Chumrasa Isser approach, if you think that the true mechayev of the Chumrasa Isser is not just the Chumrasa Isser, but the Chumrasa Isser as a simon to the breach in Avas Hashem, so then there would be another way to explain that. Because just like we had these expansions of Abbas Hashem to cases which weren't technically cases of Avodah Zarah, namely the case of Islam and these other cases of rejecting the utter rejection of one mitzvah, it could be that this near Kimon Debab, again, due to perception, would also be a violation, it would also be a breach of Abbas Hashem, and therefore would be Chayev in Yehar Vayavar, despite the lack of technical violation.
Yeah. So is it possible to also say with the Rav Baz that he also wants the Chil Hashem, and that the Chil Hashem, is that this type of Chil Hashem is totally
wrong? It's a good question. I was wondering that, but I think the reason why I'm not saying that is as follows. Is that the thing about Rashi, I'll say the Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem's idea that, you know, the appearance of violating these three is subject to Yehar Vayavar. And that exists in Rashi's case, because it's an appearance, Nirik Yehmodebav, there's an appearance of being Modeb Avodah Zarah. The other cases, there's no appearance of being Ovid of Avodah Zarah. You're being Kofir Biyadus. So
it's not a Chil Hashem.
So, but it's not a Chil Hashem of the Gimel Averos. Again, the Chil Hashem of the Gimel Averos, you're not just saying, oh, any, it's not Chil Hashem. You're saying it's the Chil Hashem specifically associated with the Gimel Averos Chamuros. So again, Chil Hashem allows you to expand it from the technical violations of those three to perhaps even a perception of your violation of those three, i.e., like Rashi. But in the case of the Rashi and the Radvaz, there's no Avodah Zarah there at all. There's no even perception of Avodah Zarah. It's rather this other factor of being, you know, rejecting Yadus. So therefore, that's what I was assuming, that those factors seem to be needing, you know, a different cloud, such as Avas Hashem, where you, basically rejecting Yadus is included in the breach of Avas Hashem, but again, doesn't seem to be within the strict Chil Hashem of the Gimel there. That was my reason. It seemed like you.
Oh, no, it's just that even if you call the Chil Hashem, the core from Avodah Zarah is still not Avas Hashem.
Correct.
So, I mean,
again, the
you
more
you
say
that within Chil Hashem, like it's more, but yeah. Avas Hashem shows that Avodah Zarah is not that Avodah Zarah, but it's more expensive.
Yeah, you could formulate Chil Hashem in a more expansive manner. I'm saying that the classical understanding of Chil Hashem is the Chil Hashem associated with the violation of these three, and therefore wouldn't apply. But
in this story, there's not usually no Chil Hashem, because usually it's only yourself who's taking this vacation.
You're basically asking, how can you ever apply Chil Hashem to Tzina? Yeah. So that's the time that the Minchas Chinah, for example, rejects the Rambam seems to apply Chil Hashem even to Tzina of Gimel Averos Chamuros. And the Minchas Chinah asks exactly what you just said. What do you mean? Chil Hashem is all a Rabbim. You need a minion. You need a ten. So the idea seems to be that there, meaning even when it's just the anas, even when it's the guy, you know, who has a gun to your head, giving in to the big three, and even in front of the guy, is considered a Chil Hashem. That's the way the Rambam gives it. Again, it's hard to grapple with it because we normally, you know, see Chil Hashem as, you know, public, but it's coming out of the sugya that the people who accept, like the Rambam, who accept the Chil Hashem approach, even to the Gimel Averos Chamuros, see, basically view, even in a violation, but Sina, even in front of, like, even just the Anas, as also considered a Chil Hashem. But it's a good question. So example number four, of an expansion, again, of the Har Vayavor beyond technical Avodah Zarah, is the issue, which came up unfortunately, throughout our Jewish history, very much in a lot of cases, of whether you are allowed to identify yourself as a non-Jew. And so when one is threatening to kill Jews and say, oh, are you a Jew? And the question is, are you allowed to basically either, we'll see, two different cases, you're allowed to either, you know, pretend to be a guy, or are you allowed to be, to like, when the guy knows you're a Jew, and say, no, I sort of converted to, I am now an Oved Chacham. The question is, are you allowed to self-identify as a non-Jew in order to save yourself? Basically, because Zehari Mayavor, when your life is at stake, apply to even, again, not being Oved Avodah Zarah, but identifying yourself as an Oved Avodah Zarah, then included in Zehari Mayavor.
Does that be any different than actually being, more than to be Oved
Chacham? Oh, so we're going to get more, we'll see. Some people are going to equate that. Oh, so the first, the Rishon, who discusses this, is the Rush, right? And the Rush in Avodah Zarah, Parak Beis, Simon Dalet, right? Where the Rush makes the claim that Aaron just made, is that in a certain context, admitting that you're an Oved Chachamim, specifically we'll see, when they know that you're a Jew, that's very important to note, that we're going to see. In contrast, perhaps, to the Shulchan Aruch, it's very clear from the Rush's case, which comes out very Maisa, and the Rush's case is one where the guy knew that you were originally a Jew. And the question is, when you identify as a guy, you're basically saying, I'm rejecting Yadus, and now I am now an Oved Chacham. But again, the important thing is that you didn't actually bow down to the idol, you didn't actually perform a Avodah Zarah. So it's an example of a rejection of Yadus, because it's another example of a rejection of Yadus without a technical violation of Avodah Zarah. And again, the Rush, again, in line with this general approach, applies a Zehari Mayavor to such a case. It says that when they know that you're Jewish and you're admitting to be an Oved Chacham, is basically saying, oh, I'm rejecting my Jewishness and I'm now accepting to be a guy, that is a rejection of Yadus, and therefore Zehari Mayavor applies, again, even though there's no technical violation of Avodah Zarah, again, is another Raya to this idea that perhaps the Zehari Mayavor of Avodah Zarah expands beyond technical violation of Avodah Zarah. So the Rush, again in Avodah Zarah there, says as follows. First he quotes the Yerushalmi, which seems to be giving off the impression that you're allowed to, you know, self-identify as a guy, and he says, Ein ledaktik mikan from the Yerushalmi, she'e mutter li Yisrael lomer ovi kechavim hu, kidei shelo yargu, don't get the false impression from the Yerushalmi, that it's mutter to self-identify as a guy in order to save your life. No. Devadai, it's self-identifying as a guy, is vale kofir bi'ikarhu. That's kfira, that's a rejection of yadus. There's a key. Tekevin shirotzin lohargo in lo yapoch ledatam. Again, the Lashon implies that they know that you're a Jewish, and, right? The fact that they are basically threatening to kill you if you do not convert to their dat, right, to their religion, implying that they knew you were a Jew, and they're basically forcing you to self-identify as a guy. And they want you to become like them. Since that's the context where they're trying to, you know, they're persecuting against Jews and they want you to become a guy, therefore in that context, when you identify as a guy, you're basically admitting to their religion, and you're basically accepting their God upon you. So again, the Rush is specifically in the context where they know that you're Jewish, is saying that self-identifying as a guy is a rejection of Yadus and is therefore subject to Yehar
Balyavor. If the case is where they know he is Jewish, then why is there a problem between Nietzsche
and Nietzsche? That's the Yerushalmi's chalag. It's hard to know exactly.
But the Google Farmer just says since with an Ishi's mobile, but if they know he's Jewish, then what difference is
it? I'm not sure.
Isn't that the Gala? Well, get the Shema Yeruba, all that was always Jewish.
So it sounds like he's pretending that he always was.
No, the point is that he'll see that he's as a real, and he'll know that he was doing some part. It was an Isha, but he was Simon.
So you can always pretend to be a guy. That's a good point. That shows that the Rush is, Yehar Vayavar, is limited to a case where they know that you're changing. If you're able to pretend, according to the Rush, that you're always a guy, because according to the Rush, the implication is that Harley Abbott does not apply. Which again, comes up in the Holocaust, came up all the time. People are pretending to be Goyim, you're allowed to do that.
Okay? So because he uses the specific case where they know they're Jewish, could that only apply for Tzolah Hashem and not Abbas Hashem?
No, why? It's still a rejection of Yadus. That's his saying, the only time you reject Yadus is when they know you were Jew and now you're rejecting.
Like for yourself, you're always rejecting Yadus, no matter whether they know or they don't know. The only difference is whether it's Tzolah Hashem.
No, because in your... from your perspective, you're just saying this to save yourself. Or from the perspective, you're just saying words to save yourself. So, and the really the question is, meaning in this case, that the perception is going to be, you know, important. Because then it's viewed as a rejection of the obvious. Again, we're going to get to in the Ramah, as Shira's point, where it's an interesting, where, you know, they think one thing and you think another thing. What's the connect?
So I was with Adashim was more of a personal thing, and therefore, but merely by the fact that you're saying these words, there's like things that are, you're allowed to say, things that are allowed to do. Now, I would say that I'm, I'm being totally personal.
Again, but if you're just thinking that you're, meaning, yeah, but if they don't know that you're, according to the Rashi, they don't know that you're Jewish, so then you saying that you're a goy is not, again, is not viewed as a rejection.
So what? It's a rejection. It's a viewed as a rejection. It's not viewed as a rejection, but like, in my sense,
it's just, you know, it's like, you know, it's like dressing yourself up as a guy. In Shukran's case.
Maybe there's nothing inherent about dressing up as a guy.
What's inherent? I'm not saying something. Inherent is a hard.
It's ambiguous. Deeper makes a kemaisa.
What?
Deeper could make a kemaisa.
Okay, that's in certain contexts. Yeah, it's not, it's, in this case, we're not talking about a formality of, you know, deeper and maisa. Meaning over here, the koveya, again, I don't know what's going on here, but is a rejection of yadus. And again, there are different shiur, and in different cases will have more of a rejection. There's definitely more of a rejection of yadus when they knew you were Jewish and now you're changing to be a guy. Again, if it's like you're a guy and you're just, you know, keeping on that facade, there's definitely less of a rejection. Again, I wanted to be able to get through time, so I'm going to move on. But it's important when the Shulchan Aruch, again, paskins this rush, this is in Yoredeya, Kuf, Nun, Zayin, Sif, Beis. It seems to be passing like this rush, but the way the Shulchan Aruch formulates the case is that it seems like he's saying that it's always usur to self-identify as a guy. He doesn't differentiate, he doesn't make it clear that it's only a case where they know that you're Jewish. It seems like, again, this is more like your analysis, it seems like the Shulchan Aruch is going like Aaron to say that, no, is that even any time you're self-identifying as a guy, that is a sufficient rejection of Yadus to therefore require hard. So again, I admit to your point that there seems to be a certain level of rejection. I'm just saying that the rush, I'm just saying that there are different levels of rejection of Yadus. And therefore I think it's, you know, there's more of a rejection when they knew you were Jewish. And it seems like the rush is drawing the line between those cases. Shulchan Aruch is saying, no, even that lower level of rejection suffices for the din of Yehar HaLayavar. So again, although the Shulchan Aruch seems to be passing like the rush, it seems to have a major expansion to even cases where they think you're a guy, and still, the Shulchan Aruch says, you're allowed to dress as a guy, but you're never, the words are not allowed to come out of your mouth as saying that I am a guy, which is very important, again, halacha ma'aser. And then the Ma, which has an interesting line, was I referring to before, the Ma says, there's one exception. You are allowed to say you're a guy if you're able to say it in a way that it can be understood in both ways. So that when you say, I don't know exactly what the words are, but in a certain context, we're able to say like a white lie type thing. We're able to say something where the guy will think you're admitting to being a guy, but the words objectively can be understood in a different way. So the Ramah says, in such a case, Yehar Layavar doesn't apply. So again, Moshe points this out to me, this is like a good raya, that the Mechayiv at hand is not Chil Hashem. Because if it's Chil Hashem, so then presumably it should all be perception based. And therefore, if what you're saying is perceived as saying, as admitting that you're a guy, the fact that in your mind, your words can be construed differently, and there's still a Chil Hashem, there's still a perception there. But if you think it's about the Mechayiv is Avas Hashem, it's about your rejection of the religion, so you can say, oh, if my words can be objectively interpreted as not rejecting the Yadus, so therefore I haven't basically breached, you know, the value of Avas Hashem. So again, this Ramah, I think, is a good test case between Chil Hashem and Avas Hashem, where even though you have the full perception of others, still, since the Mechayiv is not Chil Hashem, but Avas Hashem, you can have an exception to the Din. Okay. Just one other thing, just Maishi pointed out to me before, is that it's interesting, Gemara and Nedarim, and Samach Beis on the Beis, which seems to be a direct stira to this Shita of the Rosh. Right? The Gemara there seems to say that in the context of like tax collecting, they're trying to collect money from Jews, that a Talmud Chacham, a Tzurba Mirabanan, is allowed to claim that he's a guy. So again, it's a kosher game. You're allowed to do that to evade taxes, so it seems like kosher again, you should be able to do that in a Rosh's case where you're saving your life. The question is, how will the Rosh understand this Gemara, which seems to allow a Surma Ravan at least to admit that he's a guy in order to save himself from taxes. Which is interesting, we were looking at the Rush. The Rush himself, there's a parish on the Nedarim, if you look closely, the way the Rush himself explains the Gemara is that when it says the Lashon of the Gemara is Abda Denura, which sounds like, if you translate, it sounds like Ove Kochavim, again, the Denura instead of the Kochavim, sounds like a Vodazara, Ove Kochavim, the way the Rush interprets it is that's the Eved of an Ove Kochavim. That's the way he interprets the Gemara. So it could be that's the Rush's, you know, subtle way of getting out of this problem and say, Inachanami, you're never allowed to self-identify as an actual Ovid Chavim. The Gemara there is only allowed to say that you're associated, you're the Eved of an Ovid Chavim. So even though it might have certain connotations, in terms of, you know, at the end of the day, you are not self-identifying as an actual Ovid Chavim. So that could be the Rush's Shitaso, his way of getting out of it. Again, other Rishonim even seem to equate the cases like the Ron there. But again, the Rosh Lashitoso actually works out quite well. Any questions before we go on? Okay. So, in the last 15 minutes, I want to get it to now the Shvichas Dam. Again, up until now, right, just the general organization here is that now we're going through each Makor for each of the Gimel Averos Chamuros. So we're going to start off with the first Makor of Avas Hashem for Avodah Zarah and discuss the explanation, how you see Avodah Zarah from Avas Hashem, and then the implications of Avas Hashem, the expansions beyond technical Avodah Zarah. So now we're going on to the next of the big three, which is Ritzicha, right? Shvichas Damim, the fact that Yehar Vayavar applies to Shvichas Damim. So let's just read the Gemara inside quickly. Does someone want to read Iron Gemara? That's the Gemara after, we discussed this already yesterday, that after having brought the Makor of, or the Ahavta of Avas Hashem for Avodah Zarah, the Gemara still requires, you know, Makoros for the other two, again, which seem to pose a problem for those Shitos who think that all three are Nichol in Avas Hashem, but we explained how you can explain the Gemara even within those Shitos. But now we gotta go for it.
Gila Ras or Rotea?
Do it together. Gila Ras or Shvichas Damim, Kederebi?
Gila Ras or Shvichas Damim, Kederebi. Sadly, we're all there. Kikasher Yikun, Kikasher Yikun, Nish Al Reyehu, Sofo Nefesh, Kinadabarazet. Vichi Valabadim Eretzea.
Great, what's the, right in the context of Naram Rasa, the Torah makes reference to Ritzicha. So the Gemara is asking, what's the connection? What's this Hekesh come to teach you?
Me'ata Reyzet Balu Avid Vitzavavad. Maki Shutzea Achu Naram Rasa, Ma Naram Rasa, Kikara Tzio Vinafsha, Achu Tzio Vinafsha, Achu Tzio Vinafsha.
So according to the price, right? The reason the makor for Yehar Vayavor for Arayos comes from the Yehar Vayavor in the context of Ritzicha. Again, we're going to have to get to that next. And what exactly is the nature of this Hekesh? Is this a complete equation between these two Yehar Vayavors, or is there room for distinctions? We'll get back to that. But the Gemara again is going to ask. This Bryce is assuming that there's already a Yehar Vayavor by Rotzeach. Where does that come from?
Rotzeach Gufe Minalon. Svarhu. The Ahuda also the Kame de Rabba. The Omar Le. Omar Li Mari de Rai. Zil Katli the Falu. The Lo Katli the Lo. Omar Le. The Kaluk Lo Tikto. Ni Yemar the Dama Dach Sumach Tfe. Dima Dama Dahu Gabra Sumach Tfe.
That's right. So what's the, if I were to ask you, what's the Makwar for the Yehar Vayavor? We'll call it my chazus. Basically, how do you know that your red, that your nefesh is more valuable than the other person's nefesh? That's the svara. So we have to discuss now, in terms of like the lundus of the svara, is basically what is the impact, what's the direct impact of this svara? Right, there's a svara, my chazus, the dhamma didak, sumach tfei, and therefore, what? So we're going to see that there are two mahalchim in the Rishonim, in the Mefarshim, in terms of what is the impact of this svar. So the first approach in the Rishonim is taken by Tosos, which is Tosos Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, and also there's Tosos in Psachim Chaf Hei Amud Beis, seem to hold to the same shita. That is that the base, because of the svara, the svar is mechayev a person to be sheva al taisa. Right, since you do not know which, you know, nefesh is more yukara, to use the lashon of Lashon of Rashi. Since you don't know me, you know, my chazan, the Dhamma Didach, Sumakta, you don't know whose blood is redder. Therefore, you can't take a stance. You can't perform a maisa which will actively decide which nefesh will be saved. And therefore, when you're faced in a situation of yahar v'yavar, when someone's threatening your life, the other person, or both your lives, you have to be shevatai, so you can't do anything. Okay, so according to Tosfos, we'll see this inside, basically, the svara requires a person shevatai. Again. But allowing for the violation v'shevatai. That's going to be the nekuda between the first approach and the second approach. So just to see Tosos and Ein Daled on the base, I'm going to go for a dime. This is Tosos, again, we read this in a different context. Right, this is the Dir Maskel B'ha Esther Farhes Yahavai. So going to the first, wide line, the last three words in the line, B'ha Dula Parach. Again, context of the Gemara, the context of the Tosos rather, is explaining why the Gemara doesn't ask, why the Gemara asks the question of Yehar Le'Aber for Esther from Farhesia and not from the more obvious kasha, seemingly, of Orion. This is one of the big things. Gemara Tosas, in this context, discusses Karka Olam. Let's go for it. So in other words, what is Tosos basically saying? What does the Svar dictate in the realm of the Tzufa?
That Yehar and Balyavar is only Stromatidah.
Exactly. And therefore, as long as you're being shaped by Taisa, as long as you're not doing a Maisa Biyadayim, you're fine. Again, even if you're going to be passively involved in the Avera, like he's about to, in the case of Arias, the Karka Olam, you're involved in the Maisa Avera, but since it's passive, right, that is, right, then the Yehar Balyavar doesn't apply. So again, the way Tosas learn it is that since the svara, which is the makor of Yehar Le'aver by Ritzicha, is only mechayev a person to be sheva taisa, only prohibits a person from being kumbaseh, he says, therefore, since the Yehar Le'aver of Arayos is derived from the Yehar Le'aver for Ritzicha, we can carry over that same call. And therefore, Tosas is saying, therefore, the Yehar Le'aver, even by Arayos, only applies when the person is involved the kumbase, and therefore, if you're only involved the sheva taisa, namely karka olam, therefore it's obvious that there's a heter of karka olam when it comes to arayos, and that's basically Tosas in context is saying. Therefore, the Gemara didn't have to ask the kasha of ha Esther arayos havai because it was clear that she was karka olam, and therefore that it's clear that the har layavra of the gimel averos do not apply the sheva taisa. So again, first approach of the Svara is that the Svara is Mechayev Sheva Taisa. It only prohibits a person to take an active stance to be Kumba Asa.
I was just going to say that happens to be in the case of the person of the baby. It seems to be that no matter which option he chooses, it's going to be passive. So, like, as in, either he lets the person throw the baby passively, or he just passively says, I'm not going to let myself do this. And he doesn't end up killing himself. The other guy ends up killing him. So it could be that there, both jobs are passive, and therefore you could have a choice to do whichever one wants. He also doesn't
have to be a chayiv. What Tosas is saying, but in that case, the svar, generally the svar of my chazus dictates, you have to let yourself be killed before killing someone else. Instead of just that, in that case, where you're being passive, you basically can allow the other person to be killed. Instead of
being, yeah, that's all it's not directly.
Okay. So that's the first approach. The second approach, we're going to see both in Rashi and Reb Chaim B'Shem Rambam, is that the Svara is not just that it's Mechayev you to be Sheva Taisa, but basically the Svara dictates that because basically you have two Nefashos, which basically cancel each other out, and therefore, because you have two Nefashos, you don't know, basically my Chazas dictates, you don't know which one's more valuable, so therefore the value of V'chaibem, we'll see this in Rashi, but basically the value of V'chaibem, which basically says that basically in order to save a nefesh will be doche in Avera, in such a case where Mimanavshach, the nefesh, a nefesh, will be killed, so therefore the nefashos neutralize each other, cancel each other out, and therefore there's no longer a value of a chai behem. Right? And if a makom, the svara of my chazis, because there's no value of pikuach nefesh of the chai behem, and therefore the avera at hand is not nitches. So again, in contrast to the first pasuk, first mahalach, which just says, oh, you have to stay passive, right? You can't be active, but as long as you stay passive, you can violate the avera. According to the second approach, no. The avera is chai v'kayim, and you're not allowed to violate the avera seemingly in any way. Because all the svara does, the svara is not just, oh, you can't take an active stand. It's that because of the svara, there is no dechias ha-avera. That the avera of Ritzicha is chai v'kayim, and therefore you can't take part in the avera in any way. So we'll see, the reason why that would be mutter is because you're not even involved in Ritzicha.
Yes, yeah, it's not avera.
There is in cases of primes. We'll see if you can get your primes. Yeah. Because your primes.
Even in Ritzicha.
Theoretically, it's not. He never come up with a case where it's a Ritzicha b'sheva taisa. If you can come up with a case, fine. He never discussed the case. He says if there were to be a case of Ritzicha b'sheva taisa, so then that would be an afkamina.
Why? We're throwing on a baby.
No, he says that's not. We'll see. That's not Ritzicha b'sheva taisa. That's your chetza. Your eats the Evan. So you're not even involved. Even this is there. We'll get to Ruchayim in a second. He says there's three levels. There's involvement. There's your maisa of. There's the avera b'kumbase. There's the avera of b'sheva taisa, and then there's being the chetza. You're not even involved, kiyuzen. Never even. According to Reb Chaim's analysis, even according to the second approach, where you're not allowed to be involved in the avera in any way, even that approach will admit that you can be a chetza, because that's not considered involvement in the avera at all.
I even said that.
What's the difference between shevin alchas and chetza? It's the same thing, no?
No. Because basically, it's in the case of arayos, that you were participating in the avera, albeit in a passive manner. In the case of Ritzicha, right? Ritzicha means you have to take some part in the. It's different for arayos and Ritzicha because arayos is subject. You can have this little category. It seems like Ritzicha doesn't have that because Ritzicha is either meaning to be involved in a retzach, in a murder. It seems the only way to be involved is through to be active. If you're just the bullet. According to Reb Chaim, you're not even considered to be involved. You're completely, you know, being used as a chetza. Again, it's a subtle chilek. I don't want to get into that chilek so much. So I want to focus for now just on the impact on the svara. But just to see again the second approach in Rashi. Let's hold off. Just only 5 minutes. Rashi is clear here in Ayin Daled and also in Psachim Chafayim Beis. But since we have a Ayin Daled in front of us, we'll read Rashi here. Moshe, you want to go for it? Your Maskel Svaru. Again, it's clear from Rashi that the Svara is not just saying that you can't be active, but it's basically because of the Svara, but basically the Svara neutralizes the Chaybem, because either way there's going to be Ibn Nefesh, and then the Mela, the Avera at hand, in this case, Ritzicha, is basically Chay V'Kayim, and it's not its place.
Right. So Rashi Svaru, Shulchit Nefesh Chavir, you shouldn't push off life of his friend. Why? Because the Igatarti, there's two things that are happening, Ibn Nefesh and Shama. Because of his soul. Deleka elechada, but for himself there's only.
For
himself, right, there's only one. Even that, Eden Shama, and there's no Avera.
Right, he's busy. Right, the two options. On the one hand, you have just Ibn Nefesh. On the other hand, you're going to have Ibn Nefesh and an Avera.
Right, his Avera, I guess. Personal Avera.
Exactly, person. Yeah, all from the perspective of the person. Yeah.
Okay. The Chiyam Rachman Alavar Al Mitzvos. So the Torah says you have to do be over Al Mitzvos. Yishum Lechayvehem. Yishum Diyikra. The end of the Shema Shri Yisrael. That Hashem is Machshiv in the Shema of the Jew. The Hachlan over here. Gabi Rotzeach. Keep the sof. He could even the Shema. Since there is an end, somebody else is gonna die. Lama Yehei Mutzer Alavar. Why would it be mistaber that you're allowed to be able to do Averos because of Lechayvehem? Mi Yodei Shnafsho Chaviv LeYitzro. Yosemin Nefesh Chaviro. How do you know that his soul is more chavat Hashem than you? So therefore, since he's also, I guess, v'chayvan, both the yikarim cancel out, and therefore, davar hamik hamakom, divar makom lo nitan lifos. The mitzvah don't kill.
Exactly. So it's clear from that last line. Basically, according to Rashi, you know, the impact of my chazes is that you know the v'chayvans are canceled out because they neutralize each other, and therefore, what you're left is the avera at hand of Ritzicha is not mitches. And therefore, the avera is still applicable. So again, so that's Rashi. Again, as a point that I think too, I'm not sure. It's a little surprising that Reb Chaim, when we're trying to develop this approach, doesn't just quote Rashi. It's pretty clear. But again, he's trying to you know, defend the Rambam. So I guess he'd rather go with Rashi from the Gemara. But again, so just I wanted to read this inside. I'm probably not going to have time. It's just at least outside. It's important to see this inside. There's a chance. But basically, the context of Reb Chaim is trying to explain Shitas Rambam. The Rambam, which we'll get to later in the context of Karka Olam, basically quotes the exception of Hanas Asmel, but it never quotes the exception of Karka Olam. And Reb Chaim is trying to understand why, basically, how can the Rambam basically omit, not hold of the exception of Karka Olam? It seems like Tosis is a great raya from the Svara of Maichazis to the Heter of Karka Olam, right? As Tosas sets it up, is that the Svara of Maichazis dictates you have to be Sheva Taisa, you have to be Karka Olam. And because, you know, the Harba Yavar of Arayos comes from the Harba Yavar of Ritzichos, so therefore that Heter of Karka Olam, that Heter of Sheva Taisa, should clearly be carried over to the din of Arayos. So why would the Rambam not, how can you reject Karka Olam by Arayos? It's clearly coming from the Harba Yavar of Ritzichos, from the Svara. So Reb Chaim, in order to answer that question, basically introduces a different mahalach in the Svara. He says, while Tosfos learns that the impact of the Svara is that it basically requires a person to be Sheba Taisa, and basically introduces this heter of Karka Olam, Reb Chaim says that the Rambam seems to have an alternative interpretation. Like, doesn't say like Rashi, but like we've been explaining like Rashi. That basically the impact of the Svara is not that you could be passive, and it's not just that it's not just prohibiting taking a kumba assay stand, but it's rather dictating that basically the chaybehems again neutralize each other, and therefore the makom basically my chazis, the avera is not nitches, and therefore the avera of ritzicha is not nitches, it's chaybekayim. But therefore when you now carry that over, basically what he points out is that once you take the second approach, that the Avera is not Nitches, so then any involvement in the Avera is going to be Aser, even an involvement of Sheva Taisa. That's the nafkamina between the two approaches about whether a Sheva Taisa involvement in the Avera is going to be Aser. According to the first approach of Bali Tosos, it's not, because the Svara dictates the only thing that's Aser is a Kumbase. According to the second approach, that no, what the Svara does is it neutralizes the Chaybam and says that the Avera is Chaybekayim. Once the Avera is Chaybekayim, now it's usher to be involved in that in any way. And the Reb Chaim points out, the only reason why you have the Heter in the case of being thrown on a baby is because that's not even considered involvement of Vishay Val Taisa, that's rather a third category of being like a, his Lashon is, Tehav lo havi rak ke'evin ve'eitz bi'ata rotzeach. You're just a chepsa ba'alma. And again, we don't really have time. Maybe we'll pick up with this next time. Basically, Reb Chaim brings a raya from the Gemara Bamitzia to prove that basically all involvement in averos of the big three are going to be usher even b'shem l'tes. Maybe we'll pick up next time. Read Reb Chaim inside.